Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up, everybody? Friday here, April 19th edition. Sports Talk going till 6:30 today when we'll go to pregame coverage of LSU baseball taking on Missouri in Columbia. And locally, we've got a big matchup tonight in the Smoothie King Center. The Pelicans hosting those Sacramento Kings in a do-or-die play-in tournament matchup. And the Pels have had success against this Sacramento team. But I know everybody's a little on edge, obviously, the way the season ended. They lost the play-in game against the Lakers, and now you're going to try and get into the playoffs without your main man, Zion Williamson.
I would confidently wager, without even looking it up, that if the Pelicans lose, they will become the first 49-win team to miss the 16-team playoff bracket entirely.
Charlie's holding up two fingers, the second one.
It's happened?
I think it was like 1970-something you said, Charlie, right?
No, that might have been before playoff expansion. I'll double-check.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, with a 16-team bracket, that would be crazy to me. Like back when there were fewer teams, maybe.
Sure.
But, 49 wins last year would have gotten them the 3 seed in the West. This year, they could miss, because I don't think it technically counts. Like, I think these play-in games are kind of in their own bubble of games. Like, the records are held separately, the statistics are held separately. Like, Zion's 40-point game is the third highest play-in point total. Now, in playoffs, that's like the 180th, right? but in the play-in, his performance in that game is like up there with the top ones. I know there was somebody who dropped more this year, and then Jason Tatum has the most ever with 50 a couple years ago. But man, that would be, you know, like it's tough to look at a 49 win season and be like, man, what a disappointment. But how do you, if you lose tonight, how do you look at this season and not say, man, what a missed opportunity?
Sure.
Because, like, I've been talking all year, like, you want to take a step forward every year. Like, I think that's real in the NBA, is progression, more so than other sports. Like, year over year, you can be like, okay, are we on the right trajectory or moving in the right direction? Now, if you lose tonight, it just feels like you're still in that same kind of mold of, okay, you're going to win some games in the regular season, but you're really not a threat to anybody. And that's disappointing. And unfortunately, even if they win, I don't know how much you can really take away from it, because yet again, you're not going to have Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that's definitely a big punch to the gut right there, considering how well he's been playing.
It's such a bummer. Like, take everything else away, all the noise, all the dumb stuff that's thrown at him, Stephen A. Smith, all that, right? Take all that away.
But he fought through it all this year.
Yes, exactly. And he played really well, and he was healthy. He played 70-something games. Like, he answered all the questions that you need him to answer, and he still ended up in this situation. That's just disappointing. Like beyond anything basketball-wise, that's just a bummer for him and for this team and for the city, who was excited to see Zion in the playoffs. Finally, we get to see Zion in the playoffs. We see one game where he has the third most points in play-in history.
Ties the game up
in 95, and then the rug gets pulled out from underneath you. That's the only way you can describe it. Is you get the rug pulled out from underneath you, and it's like, what do you do from there? Like, maybe you get back up, but I don't know. It's hard to look at this team and see a team that's going to go and beat the Kings. Even though they beat them 5 times this year, I have a hard time seeing them win tonight.
Well, we're going to have to hope that Brandon Ingram, obviously, coming back from an injury, steps up.
He's got to play better than he did on Tuesday.
Absolutely. And another guy, obviously, the other one of the Pelicans' big three, and C.J. McCollum, who had been really hot down the stretch, but then was really not impressive at all against that Lakers squad.
Well, it's funny because Willie Green was asked after the game why he didn't put Brandon Ingram back in, and he was like, well, he just wasn't in a rhythm. He wasn't playing well. He didn't want to push it. And I saw some people react and be like, well, neither was CJ. Why did you have CJ in? Like, CJ was also on the bench. He pulled CJ. Both Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum were out when the Pelicans made their run. CJ came back in for Zion when Zion got hurt. And to his credit, he made a couple baskets down the stretch to keep them, you know, within arm's reach. Obviously, the Lakers didn't miss any free throws and you lose that game. But like, CJ was also like, your two of your three stars, if you have the big three, two of those three was out of the game in your most important game of the year, healthy, because they were playing that badly. And that's terrible. At this point in the season, to feel like, man, we cannot rely on our stars at the end of a play-in game, a kind of do or die, not really do or die, but a win and get in game. We can't rely on two of our three stars? What does that say about the state of your roster at this point? I get it. Brandon Ingram's got rust. He's coming back from an injury. But, man, that's a bad look.
Also, a bad look this season has just been the record at home. It's head-scratching. I just don't get it. And I know you were at the game against the Lakers. You're going tonight. A lot of folks want to, you know, blame the crowd for not showing up. The crowd
was fine.
Yeah, the crowd's there and has energy. The Pels have to match that energy and maybe exceed it to get the crowd even more involved.
Turnout could have been slightly better, but it was a big crowd. They were loud. I don't blame the crowd at all. It was a Tuesday night game that you couldn't plan for because they could have not been in that game as of Sunday, right? So it's not like people had a lot of time to plan for this Tuesday 6:30 start. So I don't fault anybody if they weren't able to get there. But the people who were there were loud, especially during that comeback. I couldn't hear the whistle blow. So I don't put anything on the fans.
Oh, yeah. Coming up next week, by the way, folks, the NFL draft, if you haven't heard. We're going to get into that at 4:30 with John Hendricks, who's the lead writer for the Saints News Network, also host of the Second and Saints podcast. It's 5 o'clock hour. We'll go inside the draft with Mike D, his segment. And then at 6 o'clock, at 6:10, we'll get a preview of that matchup between the Kings and Pelicans with Ali Cosell. He'll be at the game tonight as well, covering the team. We'll get a vibe of the Smoothie King Center, although at 6:10, I don't imagine it'll be popping yet because obviously this is an 8:30 game this evening.
Yeah, it's a late one.
So we got to get ready for that. Late night hoops in the Smoothie King Center, and obviously 6:30 coverage of LSU baseball at Missouri. Huge game for the Tigers. First pitch at 7. Need a series win for this Bayou Bengals squad. Haven't got one yet all season long. Hopefully they can take down these Tigers and get that done because NCAA postseason hopes not looking good right now for the defending national champs. Going to take a break. Be right back with more sports talk right here on WWL.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long also running Master Control, keeping us online. Jeff and I recently got a chance to talk to Justin Mello of the Draft Network on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Selfless plug right there.
Yes, shameless plug.
Yeah, selfless, shameless.
Yeah. Justin is insane.
Chock full of knowledge.
He told us that he's talked to, he will have interviewed 200 draft prospects by the time he's done with this series that he does every year. He said last year was 150. This year he's done 200. He's just got an interview every like 25 minutes. We squeezed this in. We have a clip talking about Mason Smith, which I thought was really interesting. But this is like a 20-minute interview, so if you want to go check it out on the podcast, there's a ton of great information. We talked about the offensive line. We talked about Brock Bowers, right?
And then when you hit him with sleepers at the end, he rattled off
one sleeper.
And he couldn't
gave
get
us
one.
At least 10, and I should have known in advance. And you'll understand when you hear him talk. But Charlie, let's hit that clip.
I know one guy that you talked to was Mason Smith, the guy that people in Louisiana will know, defensive tackle for LSU that came in with all the hype in the world, but I never really got a chance to live up to it, I would say, especially with the injury. But I have had people tell me, don't be surprised if Mason Smith goes a lot earlier than people might be projecting him to go. What were your kind of reads on Mason, and where do you expect to see him land this year?
Well, I'm going to tell you the exact same thing. You know, I think it's funny when you look at, you know, mock drafts, big boards around the league, you can kind of tell who's in the know and who isn't. You know, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah who had him as like a top 50 player rather early on his big board. And I honestly think that is the range he's going to go in. I think he's probably a day two guy. It wouldn't shock me if he creeps into the second round. I think, you know, as you said, the potential was what it was, and it still is what it is. You know, I think teams are still convinced that he's capable of reaching that ceiling. I think you saw it in flashes and spurts at times at LSU when he was healthy. He had a really good pro day workout. He's been on like 12, you know, top 30 pre-draft visits. So there's a lot of interest in him. You know, the Saints brought him in for one. I didn't clarify, but I anticipate that doesn't count towards their 30 designation, right? You're allowed to bring in players with a local connection. I think it's actually a really weird rule people don't realize. It depends on whether or not you provide transportation as to whether or not it counts towards your 30 designation or not. So, you know, I think if you do, it does count as a 30. If you don't, then you're allowed to bring in, you know, 30 other guys to the facility. So either way, they brought him in for what was like a 30-like visit. It's the same thing, right? You get to go, you get to conduct a medical if you want to. You can watch the film, show them around the facility, meet with coaches and scouts, yada yada. Essentially a job interview is what it is, right? An in-person job interview. So he had one with the Saints and he had one with 11 other teams, so there's a lot of interest in Mason Smith right now.
So like as long as you send him a town car, like it doesn't count.
it's a really strange rule. Yeah, I literally learned it this year. I knew that you were allowed to bring in local guys without them counting towards a 30 designation. What I didn't know is I guess what determines that or not has to actually do with the transportation. Like I talked to a guy the other day that visited the Colts on a 30 and it wasn't, I believe it was considered a local because it was like a 4-hour drive and him and his agent made the drive themselves or something like that. So it's a really, really intriguing rule that makes that determination.
Just curious about with Mason, did he explain why he decided to enter the draft and not go back to college for one more year, figuring it could boost his stock even more?
I didn't ask him that question, in all honesty, Steve. We just kind of talked about that. We did talk a lot about the year that he had coming off the injury. Perhaps, you know, this context will answer your question. But he did sort of state that he felt that, you know, he was really proud of the way he came back from the injury and the type of season he strung together this past year. Felt he was fully healthy, felt he was, you know, pretty darn close to reaching his performance ceiling, and then was really happy with the numbers he put up at the pro day. So the impression I sort of got was that, you know, he's really, really proud of the year that he had.
You just heard from Justin Mello there. You can hear the entire interview on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. You can get it wherever you find your podcast.
Yeah. That's the deal, right? It's everywhere.
I was definitely
They're
curious.
All everywhere. We all say that like it's special.
Right,
that's,
exactly.
That's how it works.
I was curious, like I said there, about what asking Mello about, you know, Mason Smith's decision to come out this year. I just thought it was odd overall, just considering the fact that you figure another season at LSU might have been able to boost himself into the first round.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't want to be a college student anymore. I could relate to
Still
that.
Still making that NIL impulse. Money, though.
Yeah, you got to go to class and stuff.
I know. The class part's a bummer.
I don't know. And if you're going in the second round, I think you can live with it. He probably got his draft grades and felt good about it. But that's first time I heard about Mason Smith visiting the Saints.
Yeah.
That's what Justin's reporting. So that's significant, right? Those visits mean a lot. Like, I would wager that the Saints don't typically draft people that they have not had a meeting with. I mean, it's just kind of make that statement.
Right, it happens, but I wouldn't imagine it's common.
I don't think it's that common. You have top 30 visits. If you're bringing in 30 guys plus locals, if you're in the draft and you're not taking a guy that you brought in, then that means, like, what does that mean about your scouting, right? You would think that all of the picks you're making, or at least most of them, are guys you've had visits with. So that's why when you hear about somebody having a visit, that's significant.
NFL Draft kicking off on Thursday. We'll get more into it with John Hendricks, lead writer of the Saints News Network, right after this, right here on WWL. Stay tuned. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak, also Charlie Long. Happy to welcome in John Hendricks, the lead writer for the Saints News Network, also hosts the Second and Saints podcast. Man, how you been, John?
Man, I've been doing well, guys. I hope you have, too. It's crazy and surreal to think that we'll be back over at the facility in just less than a week.
Definitely appreciate the time during this busy period. Everybody's, you know, clamoring to get all their draft stuff in line, getting notes and articles out there. Just for you, I know that everyone's done mock drafts and has their opinions on what the Saints want to do at pick 14. Are you in the camp of getting that offensive tackle right away with so many available to this team? It seems like it's just made for them, at least, to get that guy in the first round.
Yeah, look, they could have their pick of the litter in the first round. And look, I think they could do either or. They could get their guy in the first round, but there's going to be some guys that are available when they pick at 45. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to see if somebody like a Brock Bowers falls to them, or they go for maybe a receiver or something like that. That's something that I think you should keep an eye on. But I think it's widely believed that, yes, you go for the offensive tackle because – you don't know what you have in Ryan Ramczyk. That's not really a good situation there. And, of course, you're not sure about Trevor Penning, but he is going to be playing left tackle for this team. That's where he's going to start out. And so I think the pressing need is right tackle for sure. I could see them adding on the interior defensive line. I think that's a very underrated, overlooked need for them. They looking still for a possession receiver, but I think after that, you know, everything's kind of on the table, and their needs are glaring, but they don't have so many, I feel like, as they have in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, let's parse into that a little bit, because the tackle need is so glaring that it's obviously at the top of the list. We've talked it to death. And so, I mean, why don't we just erase that and kind of go, like, what would be next on your list? Because I do think there's some arguments to be made that maybe it's wide receiver, maybe it's defensive end, maybe, you know, linebacker seems like, you know, you feel like your depth there is kind of going in waves. Where would you land on the second biggest need for the Saints right now?
Yeah, I think I'd toss it up. I really think defensive tackle is a big need because you lost Malcolm Roach in the offseason. You lose a guy that's a really stout run defender. You know, you think they think the world of Brian Brzee. So I expect a huge second year leap for him, but it's really him, Colin Saunders, and Nathan Shepard. And then you got Jack Heflin that's on the roster still. And, you know, I think he obviously could be somebody that does some things, but, you know, that remains to be seen. And so this last thing the Saints can afford to do is let their run game go to the wayside. And, you know, some of the guys that were on the roster last year playing, they didn't get kept and such. And so I think that's an area where you could make a solid argument. But the other part of it is, I think tight end could be a need. You know, this Clint Kubiak offense that's out here, you know, you're expecting a big presence from the tight end, and the Saints have got to answer the question, is Juwan Johnson that guy, right? Because Foster is going to be more of your blocking guy. You still have the Taysom Hill element, and so I think that's an area where you got to add at least one or two guys in addition to what you have on the reserve future. And then I think the possession receiver is the next one, but, you know, they added Equanimee St. Brown and Cedric Wilson, the roster, some veterans, and there's some guys still out there, and I think that's part of the draft process that we do tend to forget, is that sometimes after the draft is when you see some of these guys signed, and, you know, the Saints have a plan, or that's where you had brought in the Foster Moreaus, you brought in guys like Lynn Bowden, you brought in Jimmy Graham, and so sometimes you don't see the whole picture, but there are positions out there that I think there are some cases to be made.
John, you mentioned that the plan, obviously, is to have Trevor Penning be your left tackle for next year. Just curious if you happened to see ESPN yesterday, Bill Barnwell putting out a recommended trades for everybody in the first round, had the Saints packaging their number one pick, their second round pick, and Trevor Penning to the Chargers for their fifth overall selection. Just your opinion on that. To me, I don't know if it's worth it to move that far up. I'm assuming to get a guy in Joe Alt, and then you leave yourself with no second round pick, and obviously nothing again until the fifth round. So I was kind of leery on that whole situation.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Yeah. I just don't think it's wise. And plus, you can get your guy, and you go through every mock simulation.
Yeah.
You can get a very good, solid right tackle or left tackle at 14. And so, look, and to be honest, I know Joe Alt is the cream of the crop or viewed. I think he's going to be as great as something spectacular as some people are saying. And so looking at his film, I don't want to say he's one note or anything, but there are some things and elements that I feel like are a little bit more concerning to me. But he's definitely going to be the first tackle that goes. And so for the Saints, there's so many that are going to be available when they do pick at 14. I don't think there should be any rush to trade up or anything like that. And with the run on quarterbacks that's expected, that only bodes well for the Saints and some of these other teams in front of them. So I don't think they have to pull the trigger on anything. I know they haven't given up on Trevor Penning, and Jeff knows that. We've talked to Mickey, we've talked to Dennis. They right. echo the same thing, is that they've said they haven't done him any favors, and you know, they still believe that he has that possibility in him. But you know, the offensive line still is an area where they've got to get better, because that's essential for this Clint Kubiak offense to work.
So, you know, the trade thing is interesting. I think trading up to 5, unless you're going for a quarterback, makes zero sense. But, you know, when I look back at the Olave trade, right, I feel like that was a similar situation where, yeah, you could have stuck it, I think it was 16, and there would have been one of those wide receivers available. That was the year you had Garrett Wilson and Drake London and Jameson Williams. But they were like, no, we want Chris. They traded up to 10, and they got their guy. And I do wonder, you look at all these tackles, right, and you say, okay, there's like 4 or 5. So by the time – the numbers indicate that by the time you get to 14, one of those guys is going to be available. But what if you have a really high grade on one guy, and he's the guy you want, and you just want to make sure you get him, so you trade up to 10 maybe with the Jets or something like that. So to me, that seems like a more likely trade. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it is, but you know, I think what's hard about it is you don't have a third or fourth round pick, and so if you're going to move up to that, you're going to have to dip into next year's draft, and you're right. going to have to probably trade one of those picks. And so, look, again, it's going to depend on their grading process, and can they stay patient enough? But if it is somebody, whoever ends up being their guy, if they don't feel like they can wait, or if there's somebody in front, and there's always the element of surprise from teams, because this is going to be a trade heavy, you know, draft. It just always is. It's just how it happens. And so, look, if it's a couple of spots, I question what the value is there, just because they don't have a third or fourth round, and you can't really package all those fists to move up as much as you want to. And so it involves going into next year. And so I think it begs the question, where do you view this roster? Is my big thing is, you really, is it still compete now, or that we're in a spot to compete? I don't think they're in type of a hard rebuild, maybe a soft rebuild, a retool and such in some aspects. But, you know, they've got a lot of things to consider and mull over. But, you know, overall, I just don't know if I'd move up a couple of spots because of what I'd have to give up. And I just don't think it's worth it at the end of the day.
John, definitely appreciate the time right now. Lead writer for the Saints News Network, also host of Second and Saints podcast. How you guys been going over there with you and your buddy?
Man, we're doing great, man. Ross Jackson and I, we are having some fun, and I think that's just amazing. Just like you guys, man. It's just fun to talk about this team, and it's fun to be able to talk about the possibilities. And Ross and I just, we're great friends and jive so well. And so it's just a different element, man. So I appreciate you asking.
And the YouTube channel is at Second and Saints. What is that?
Yep, that's Second and Saints. That's us. You can find podcasts, but yep, YouTube, definitely. It's a video show we do at least once a week. It'll ratchet up, but you know, it's more to come for sure. So I appreciate you asking.
Definitely appreciate your time, John. We'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure, during the draft.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one. Good rest of the show.
Thank you. John Hendricks, you can check out his work, the lead Saints writer for the Saints News Network. Also, like I said, host of the Second and Saints podcast. Check it out there. Getting ready for the big night Thursday, and the preview show is where it's at. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on Thursday will be joined by Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, and all the Saints top brass, like offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, defensive coordinator Joe Woods. And you know, Jeff, that's really interesting. Obviously, Clint Kubiak, we haven't heard from him since he's come to New Orleans, so that will be exclusive
like for
WWL Saints Radio on draft night.
Yeah, if he sounds like Kermit the Frog, we're going to find out.
But everyone will be joining Haas and Deuce for that. That's Thursday, starts at 4 o'clock. Man, we're just 6 days away. 6 days away from draft night.
It creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like we were you know, 20-some-odd days out. Then it was like, all right, 2 weeks, and then
yeah,
bam.
That's how it works.
Going to take a break. When we get back, we'll get more into all your thoughts. Give us a call or text on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're up to this gorgeous Friday in the city. Coming right back with more sports talk right after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, who's ready to party? Now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to the first weekend of Jazz Fest. Today's password is Faidodo. That's Faidodo, F-A-I-S-D-O-D-O. Now just go to WWL.com/contest, enter the word Faidodo, and register to win. It's that easy. Don't miss your chance to win Jazz Fest tickets. Plus, you get round-trip Jazz Fest Express shuttle passes. WWL is giving away a pair every day. All you have to do is listen to Tommy, Newell, Scoot, or Sports Talk for the Jazz Fest password of the day. Good luck and happy festing, everybody, from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. Party tonight, hopefully, in the Smoothie King Center. Anxious to see what this Pelican squad can do. Obviously, no Zion Williamson, and you're facing a team that you've beaten already five times this season. And I love the analysis I've been hearing so much of. It's like, oh, you know, it's hard to beat a team six times in a season.
You know, it's like the NFL one. Like, oh, it's tough to beat a team three times in the NBA. Tough to beat a team six times. It is tough to beat a team six times.
Or is it that you have their number?
It's also difficult to beat a team that's beaten you five times because they clearly have figured something out. And, no, that's what the Pelicans players talked yesterday. The coach talked, and they were asked, like, why have you been so successful? And I think they all kind of have an idea of why they've been so successful, but they don't want to say it.
So, right, we're not going to give away any secrets.
Yeah, but one thing that Larry Nance said that I appreciated and I think is true, you know, one of the advantages that the Pelicans have in a matchup with the Kings that they don't have with everybody is that Jonas Valanciunas matches up very well with Domantas Sabonis. They know each other very well. They're both Lithuanian. So, you know, it's just I think not every matchup Jonas will factor in the way he does against the Kings. And I think that's part of the reason that you're able to gain a bit of an advantage that you maybe don't have against Anthony Davis and the Lakers, who's a bit more of an athletic center that's going to force Jonas to run. And, you know, we've seen Jonas run. It's not his forte.
No, he's as good as running as I am.
Yeah, and he knows Domantas Sabonis' moves, like the back of his hand. They play together on the Team Lithuania in the Olympics. So I think that, you know, Larry pointed that out specifically, and I think he's onto something because, you know, when you watch games that the Pelicans do well in, a lot of times it's like, okay, do you have a matchup that you can get Jonas into where he can really make an impact in the game? And I think they do in this matchup.
Well, I know someone who is going to be wilding out in the Smoothie King Center tonight, our pal Jimmy and Gretna on the line. What you got for us today, Jimmy?
Look, dude. Hey guys, great coverage, man. I hope the season's not over tonight. You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm going to the game, and look, the offer stands. I'll even extend it to Novak there. Y'all come out to the Croatia Fest tomorrow in Belchase. We're gonna have a Pelicans player, the second rounder from last year, Carlo Matkovic, is gonna be there, barring any issues with flights to OKC. You guys tell me. I mean, assuming we win, the first game I think would be what, in a few Sunday. Days at OKC?
Yep. Sunday okay. night, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, we're doing like the Greek Fest by the lake. We're doing a Croatia Fest. But tonight it's all about the Pelicans. And look, they still got $15 tickets right now. on the secondary market, which kind of tells me, like, look, looking back retroactively to last Sunday, tickets were like $70. You know, you had all the LeBron James, Lakers fans, bandwagon fans.
Sure.
Big crowd. I mean, $15 tickets? Come on, people driving. I'm preaching to the choir with you guys. You guys know the importance of this. I'm preaching to all the people driving home from work who are like, we're just going to watch Netflix tonight. We'll watch it on TV. No, buy a ticket. Go to the blender. You're like, oh, yeah, but they're not even winning with the crowd. They're losing at home. Who cares? Leave it all out there. Wear red, whatever. I mean, we gotta go down with a blaze of glory here as a city, basketball-wise, because I know you guys are amped up about the NFL draft next week. I want y'all to have that and Pelicans at the same time. I want y'all's board lit up, full of stuff to talk about. We cannot have the season end tonight. This would be a massive collapse. And like Charlie always says, I think it's either they're either would be the undisputed or tied for the most wins in NBA history without making the playoffs if they do not win tonight. So we got to pack it out 8:30 tonight, national TV in New Orleans. New Orleans has been called not a basketball city. We got to make it happen.
You were at that last game against the Lakers, right, Jimmy? Oh, sorry. Jimmy's gone.
He's gone. He's right. There's really no excuse not to go. Like, it's not a financial thing. It's a later game, so you can't say, like, oh, I don't have time. I can't get off work in time and get there. Like, well, that was one of the issues with Tuesday in terms of the turnout was it was a game that you didn't find out about until Sunday in terms of that it was going to happen at all. And then it was a 6:30 start, which is a little early for an NBA game on a Tuesday where people have stuff to do. You got to pick up the kids from school, do whatever. It's a Friday night. 8:30, there's nothing keeping you from being, or there could be something. But in a lot of most people's cases, like, this is something that you could get to if you wanted to, and the ticket prices are very manageable.
Well, I know that a lot of fans, though, are kind of leery just because of the fact, obviously, the home record this year, that why should I spend my money to go see this team when they don't show up at home?
I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again.
Yes.
I don't know. If that's your...
I've been hurt so much, I'm already stoned now. They can't hurt me anymore.
If that's your philosophy, then I hate to break it to you, but you get hurt a lot as a sports fan. It's part of the deal.
No, that's for sure. It's just been a really odd situation. And you know what? For the first time all season long, Pelicans shoot-around today was in the arena, not at the Pelicans practice facility.
You think that's going to work?
Hey, anything, any kind of change can do something, I hope. I think it was someone here mentioned the fact that they should just treat a home game like an away game. Do everything you do on the road and just bring that to New Orleans. If you got to stay in a hotel, do that too, and just, bus over to the arena with everybody to make it as much as a road experience as possible, which is just wild to say.
Maybe give them the home locker room.
Right, switch it all around.
Yeah, it is strange. It really is in terms of, like, why are you better on the road than you are at home? Is it just kind of a luck of the draw thing? You got, the difference is so stark that it feels like it can't just be a coincidence. But you also, I don't know if they could have played that game in L.A., those games in L.A. I don't think they're winning those games. I don't think it was about being at home versus being on the road. I think the Pelicans are just not the team that's going to beat LeBron's Lakers right now. And that was just what happened. I mean, LeBron took over those games in big moments. And I don't think that's going to necessarily happen tonight. De'Aaron Fox is, the way, if the Kings play the way they did offensively against the Warriors, I think they win this game because they were running up and down the court. They were hitting threes. Keon Ellis was hitting shots. If Keon Ellis goes off for double digits, I feel like the Pelicans are in trouble.
Well, what's wild is the Pelicans' road record, best in the NBA this season, 28-14. It's such a shame they couldn't capitalize that and add to that with their home slate.
Yeah, well, that's why they are at 49 wins and not 54 wins.
Just wild, like I said, just really wild to think about it. It's what's the issue? And yeah, maybe that shoot around in the arena today will help them get a lot looser and acclimated to there. I don't know if it has to do with the sight lines or anything, but then the opposing team would have issues as well.
All I know is I need to see CJ come out and play like the guy they traded for, right? Like, that game the other night was, like, Brandon Ingram, you can excuse in terms of, oh, he's rusty, he's been out. CJ hasn't. CJ's been on fire. These are the games he's here to win. These are the games he's here to show up and be a star in.
Well, everybody on the Pels, eat your Wheaties before the game because we need it all. Going to come back with another hour of sports talk right after this, the top of the hour news break on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.